When Warren first arrived in Saddleback Valley, he spent 12 weeks going door to door, introducing himself and asking strangers why they didn't go to church. Many of the answers were practical. It was boring, people said. The music was bad. The sermons didn't seem applicable to their lives. They needed child care. They hated dressing up. The pews were uncomfortable. Warren's church would address each of those complaints. He told people to wear shorts and Hawaiian shirts if they felt like it. An electric guitar was brought in. Warren's sermons from the start focused on practical topics with titles such as How to Handle Discouragement, How to Feel Good About Yourself, How to Raise Healthy Families, and How to Survive Under Stress. His lessons were easy to understand, focused on real daily problems, and could be applied as soon as parishioners left church. It started to work. Warren rented school auditoriums for services and office buildings for prayer meetings. The congregation hit 50 members, then 100, then 200 in less than a year. Warren was working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, answering congregants' phone calls, leading classes, coming to their homes to offer marriage counseling, and in his spare time, always looking for new venues to accommodate the church's growing size. One Sunday in mid-December, Warren stood up to preach during the 11 o'clock service. He felt lightheaded, dizzy. He gripped the podium and started to speak, but the words on the page were blurry. He began to fall, caught himself, and motioned to the assistant pastor, his only staff, to take the lectern. "I'm sorry, folks," Warren told the audience. "I'm going to have to sit down." For years, he had suffered from anxiety attacks and occasional bouts of melancholy that friends told him sounded like mild depressions. But it had never hit this bad before. The next day, Warren and his family began driving to Arizona, where his wife's family had a house. Slowly, he recuperated. Some days, he would sleep for 12 hours and then take a walk through the desert, praying, trying to understand why these panic attacks were threatening to undo everything he had worked so hard to build. Nearly a month passed as he stayed away from the church. His melancholy became a full-fledged depression, darker than anything he had experienced before. He wasn't certain if he would ever become healthy enough to return. Warren, as befitting a pastor, is a man prone to epiphanies. They had occurred when he found the magazine article about McGavran, and in the library in Texas. Walking through the desert, another one struck. "You focus on building people," the Lord told him, "and I will build the church." Unlike some of his previous revelations, however, this one didn't suddenly make the path clear. Warren would continue to struggle with depression for months, and then during periods throughout his life. On that day, however, he made two decisions. He would go back to Saddleback, and he would figure out how to make running the church less work. When Warren returned to Saddleback, he decided to expand a small experiment he had started a few months earlier that he hoped would make it easier to manage the church. He was never certain he would have enough classrooms to accommodate everyone who showed up for Bible study, so he had asked a few church members to host classes inside their homes. He worried that people might complain about going to someone's house rather than a proper church classroom. But congregants loved it, they said. The small groups gave them a chance to meet their neighbors. So after he returned from his leave, Warren assigned every Saddleback member to a small group that met every week. It was one of the most important decisions he ever made, because it transformed church participation from a decision into a habit that drew on already existing social urges and patterns. Now, when people come to Saddleback and see the giant crowds on the weekends, they think that's our success, Warren told me. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. 95% of this church is what happens during the week inside those small groups. The congregation and the small groups are like a 1-2 punch. You have this big crowd to remind you why you're doing this in the first place, and a small group of close friends to help you focus on how to be faithful. Together, they're like glue. We have over 5,000 small groups now. It's the only thing that makes a church this size manageable. Otherwise, I'd work myself to death, and 95% of the congregation would never receive the attention they came here looking for. Without realizing it, Warren, in some ways, has replicated the structure that propelled the Montgomery bus boycott, though he has done it in reverse. That boycott started among people who knew Rosa Parks and became a mass protest when the weak ties of the community compelled participation. At Saddleback Church, it works the other way around. People are attracted by a sense of community and the weak ties that a congregation offers. Then, once inside, they're pushed into a small group of neighbors, a petri dish, if you will, for growing close ties, where their faith becomes an aspect of their social experience and daily lives. Creating small groups, however, isn't enough. When Warren asked people what they discussed in one another's living rooms, he discovered they talked about the Bible and prayed together for 10 minutes, and then spent the rest of the time discussing kids or gossiping. Warren's goal, however, wasn't just to help people make new friends. It was to build a community of the faithful, to encourage people to accept the lessons of Christ, and to make faith a focus of their lives. His small groups had created tight bonds, but without leadership, they weren't much more than a coffee circle. They weren't fulfilling his religious expectations. Warren thought back to McGavran, the author. McGavran's philosophy said that if you teach people to live with Christian habits, they'll act as Christians without requiring constant guidance and monitoring. Warren couldn't lead every single small group in person. He couldn't be there to make sure every conversation focused on Christ instead of the latest TV shows. But if he gave people new habits, he figured, he wouldn't need to. When people gathered, their instincts would be to discuss the Bible, to pray together, to embody their faith. So Warren created a series of curriculums used in church classes and small group discussions, which were explicitly designed to teach parishioners new habits.